Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences,
hey,
the magazine,
Hi.
And wider PHP community.
Feels like I haven't spoken to you in a year. 2026, baby.
What are you doing, a dog?
Beating up my dog, who's just become a complete nuisance lately. Welcome back to the podcast. New year, same old ugly people.
Slower start. less formatted start.
We're kind of winging it in the new year. John and I decided not to wear pants today, and so
that's not just today. Come on now, camera stops right here.
Want to say happy 2006 to our people in Discord.
2006, you guys are back in the past.
2026. I saw a busy pixel who, for whatever reasons, not in our Discord, on YouTube, and we got A Woods, Jeffrey, and of course the official male model PHP architect, Duck Nizzle.
So, speaking of YouTube,
and A Woods,
if you're listening to us now, go over to YouTube youtube.com/phparch. Hit subscribe.
Where is it?
It's right there. You forgot how fingers work. I did too.
Let me see. Does that work? Yeah, that works just fine. and pop into our Discord. If you're watching the live stream, you want to pop into our Discord at discord.phparch.com. Be part of the community. It's not only during the live stream. It's kind of a thing we do all week. Although I've gotten terrible at keeping up with Discord, which is not a necessarily bad thing. I'm sure everybody's done listening to me rant throughout the week. I get all my ranting in right now, but yeah, they hang out in Discord and just have some of the greatest and coolest conversations.
Yeah, it was all slow over the holidays, but that's to be expected.
Yeah, but yeah, how were your holidays, speaking of which?
Man, they were great. My kids, it's fun having kids during the holidays.
I always forget we have a global audience. So here in the U.S., we just had Christmas and New Year's. I don't know.
Not celebrated anywhere else.
No, I'm pretty sure New Year's is specifically a U.S. A celebration. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sorry. You were saying you have kids.
Yeah, having kids makes that time of year fun. It's minus the cost because it's friggin' expensive.
Yeah.
Especially as kids get older, they want cooler things, and it's they got what they wanted and then some, and my pocketbook feels it.
Did I say that?
Yeah. It's not fun. But continued working for the most part. I took off just Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. And I do that for a very specific reason, and that's because for over a decade, I was forced to work Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, all the way through, especially when I was at my previous employer, because they had to count inventory, and it had to be accurate as
I remember
December 31st. And he was a stickler about, no, we're counting it until it's done on New Year's Eve. And we were often there till 2-3 o'clock in the morning counting inventory, and it was just a nightmare. the cool part was finally, 3 or 4 years before I left, I'd built a whole inventory system in PHP on handheld scanners, which was really cool. And I was able to make it where we could start inventory a week prior, and then it would keep the inventory up to date so that we could finish very early on New Year's Eve. All we had to do is spot check, verify things, and then call it a day.
Cool. Yeah, you were probably the one working the most, because we gave the team 2 weeks of gear down time. We're not really time off. Everybody, matter of fact, I don't know if Frank even took. I think he just appreciated the fact that nobody else was working, just kept working, or maybe I forgot to tell him, and he just didn't know. Is it working? So. That was cool. I think everybody popped on at some point during the 2 weeks and did stuff. I kind of was watching Slack and email, but I have to say, in those 2 weeks, there were 3 or 4 days that I didn't step foot in my office, which sounds silly, but it's a big deal for me. Mm-hmm. It's very rare that I don't come into my office and do something. So I enjoyed it. It made it harder to come back on Monday. This is our first week back, right?
Yeah.
Is this our first week?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Monday was like, oh, this sucks. Wait.
See, not me. I was just like, sometimes you just need work as a break. There's a lot of family time, which is great. But at the same time, it's like, kids, you need to go back to school. I need to get back to work. I got stuff I need. And it didn't help that my younger kid, all of a sudden, Sunday before going back to school on Monday, got strep throat. So out of nowhere, he's like, I don't feel good, starts vomiting and complaining of a sore throat and not good.
No.
So he stayed home for 3 days. He finally went back to school today.
Cool. Yeah, man. So it's been fun. And pretty much the entire PHP ecosystem shut down.
Because we weren't here.
We're not working. Nobody else is going to do it. That's not really completely true, I guess. Got a lot of stuff to talk about on my board.
That you do.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I wanted to go with the top one on your board because we finally made a decision on PHP Tech early bird pricing.
So that was not top on my board, but yes.
Well, I mean, the card kind of reminded me. So early bird is going to end the end of this month, January 31st, early bird ends. So if you're considering going to PHP Tech or JS Tech now, purchase today, make it easy on us. Let us know you're going to be there. Make it easy on yourself. Save some money because once the prices go up, they're not coming back down.
That's right. And for clarification, it's not now JS Tech. It's and JS Tech. So it's
if you're coming. I thought I PHP said or, Tech, but did I say now?
Yeah. So. That's always kind of an interesting time of when do we actually stop early bird pricing because. We always want to keep it as cheap as we can, as long as we can, but we also have to pay bills. So, yeah, speakers are up. Schedules are softly kind of probably 90% done. We'll probably look at those a couple more times over the upcoming weeks and eventually post them. But you can see what talks are happening already. If you just click on the speaker's name, their talks pop up and it'll tell you. So we're not hiding anything. There's no big reveal. We just make sure everybody, kind of gets a break between talks and everything. So we like to look at the schedule a couple times. And like I said, John and I have already gone through it once.
Yeah. And I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around how we're going to display the schedule because it's really easy with Sessionize to throw up their JavaScript, but we're only going to be able to show the PHP Tech stuff on PHP Tech and the JavaScript on JS Tech.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So they make it where we can hit an API, pull the stuff in, and then we can build our own schedule from both sets of data. It's just going to be a little more of a pain in the ass.
Yeah. We don't have enough going on. Let's go ahead and do this. Oh yeah, I forgot that doesn't show you the split. Damn it. All right. Yeah. So yeah, really kind of interested. It's interesting to see the JS Tech take form.
Mm-hmm.
I was very concerned about submissions and whether or not we would even get submissions. And we did. We got a lot of submissions. Enough where we were debating whether it's gonna be one track or two tracks, but ultimately, we settled on one track. So,
space wise, for now,
yeah, that might change. I mean, we'll see how successful it is. I'm actually really pleased with the turnout of JS Tech so far.
That's been my past 3 weeks is scheduling all the flights for the speakers, and I'm still not done. And it's It's a nightmare. It's never easy. It's stressful trying to make sure everything lines up. The one I did this morning, he was coming from Rome, and the flights that came in on Monday were kind of wonky. So he's like, I'll come in Sunday if you want. So we start looking at flights on Sunday, and all of a sudden I realize, wait, the one we booked lands at 2 o'clock. Let me see if they have that same flight on Monday. And of course they do. So now I'm trying to frantically get in touch with the airline saying, hey, can we switch this? And that's a pain because I don't have access to that person's email. They're in Rome, completely different time zone. Luckily, because I was still online on the website and I was able to go through their live chat, they thought I was Mateo and were able to change the flight. So we're good there. Anything to save a little money. I mean, a hotel room is not cheap.
Yeah. Code. So you work through the week, the 2 weeks. You do anything, any exciting coding?
The most exciting thing I did wasn't in PHP, but it's AI is friggin' scary, right?
Dude,
it is scary.
We'll talk about that. Why is it scary to you?
All right. So the latest thing I did was connect our phone system for a client to OpenAI. So I made it where you call a fake phone number through our system and it routes to OpenAI. And now you're having a conversation with an AI agent. And the whole thing is around, it's a teaching you about the application, you know, over here, you're going to have this and here's what we're doing. And you can ask questions like, well, what does this button do?
Interesting. I was about to say, so it's not a recording, you're interacting with the AI agent.
Right. So it started because we do that. We have these fake contacts. So when somebody's new to the system, they call a contact and it's just a recording of somebody saying, hello, I'm so-and-so and I want to walk you through this part of the system and here's what this button does and what, you know, just trying to be engaging enough to keep you interested to see how things work. And we have like 6 or 7 of these contacts that you call through to learn different stuff. But when they set it up, for some reason, I wasn't included in that decision. So they were hosting it on Twilio. So there's an actual phone number. Somebody's calling from our system through our phone system out to Twilio just to play a message. I'm like, why are we doing this? Like, why don't we just take that file, the audio file, and put it on our server and just play it?
Mm-hmm.
But those were already done. I let those go. But for the new application, we had to do something similar. And instead of me going out to Twilio and buying a number and doing all that, I'm going to do it my way. Came up with this fake phone number thing. So phone numbers starting with 999 don't really exist. So they're going to go through our local server. And Tim Lytle was like, that's a great idea. I have another idea for that. What if we dial a phone number and it calls OpenAI?
Tim, you're a smart cookie.
And so very interesting.
How did you train it? Like that's always the thing I struggle with. Like I still don't understand how you train these things.
So it's just a pre-written prompt. So just like you're talking with ChatGPT or any of the others, you prompt it, you give it all the background it needs, and then it just starts having a conversation. And it's scary fast.
But how does it know about the product? Like, that's what
just,
I don't...
Just from the prompt. I mean, it's a long prompt of information about it. And I mean, it's not the full product. It's a very specific niche piece of the product. Like,
you're
in this part of the application, and here's what I'm going to teach you about. So through the prompting, you tell the AI about it. Now it can somewhat regurgitate that to whoever it's talking to.
That's crazy, man. That is crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. So the one thing I did do over the past 2 weeks is do a deeper dive into Claude Code and try to out of the box, Claude Code was pretty fantastic. Then you add on top of it the stuff that Laravel did to feed into AI engines, Claude being one of them, so that it has current documentations in patterns and things like that, it's gotten just so good. But I'm like, I feel like it could be better. And I spent a lot of time over the last 2 weeks trying to understand how to do that and how to make it stronger without overdoing. Because I have a tendency of overdoing these things. You know me with my plugins, my extensions. Like, oh, yeah, I want that. Oh, yeah, I want that. And it just gets out of control. And I hadn't really gotten a chance to put it to the test. And then today we had a code base this morning where, we needed to do some upgrades to the framework, upgrades to Filament, upgrades to Livewire, upgrades to Tailwind. And I didn't have time to look at it at that particular moment. I could have just done a composer upgrade and just upgrade the existing versions of all the packages that were in there. But I wanted to bring it. It was on like Laravel 11. I'm going to get to 12. And I know Livewire had some security patches come out that were really vital. So I'm like, okay, let me just throw my new Claude agent at this. And I'll just check in every couple minutes as I'm in my meetings and stuff and see where it's at. And it did, not only did it do everything, I had to, go in there and correct. Like we went like three or four rounds to get all the errors flushed out, which is huge. Like it usually takes a lot longer than that. And I'm like, all right, this can't just work this well. And I deployed it. You know, I tested everything local. All the tests I had written for that code base passed. Tested everything local, and I'm like, I feel like I'm missing something. I'm gonna go ahead and deploy it and see what happens. Totally expecting it to die. And I even told Joe at the time, who was working with me, I'm like, hey, I'm gonna deploy this. So more likely than not, we're gonna have to do a rollback here somewhere. And it was also the first time I tested using the Forge version of zero downtime deployments. So that's why we had been paying for Envoyer, because we wanted to be able to do zero downtime deployments, but right, that is now baked into Forge. So the only real reason you'd want to use Envoyer now today is if your environment is on multiple servers. Forge doesn't do that, but that wasn't the case with this site. It was on one server. So Forge had a way for you to migrate your Envoyer configuration over to Forge. And I hadn't actually had an opportunity to test that either. So I'm like, there's so many ways this could go wrong. Fortunately, it wasn't like this mission critical site. So had it totally busted, whatever. But no, everything worked like a charm. I was super excited about it. So yeah, I tell you, man, AI... And it's funny because I read an article from a CTO. It was like, vibe coding's dead. And I guess I understood what he, in hindsight, I really kind of understood what he was saying. But when I read it, I was like very defensive at first. I'm like, wait, what? And it talks about how where AI lets you do things quickly, it introduced so many instability issues in your environment, it wasn't worth the cost. I'm like, okay, so I've gotten very opinionated on this, where it's like, if you think AI is a magic bullet that's going to make it so you don't need developers anymore, then yeah, You're going to fuck yourself, right? Damn. So one of my New Year's resolutions again this year was to curse yet less. And that's going shitty.
I guess we're not doing the family friendly checkbox on this one.
Not this one either. Nope, not made for kids. And you've heard me probably parrot this a few times now. I definitely see AI as a tool that should be in the hands of professionals who know how to do the work, right? And that's where it shines. And I don't know, I feel like I didn't get through the whole article, but I feel like the guy was sort of trying to make that same statement where it's like, it's I think he was trying to say the same thing, just was taking a very long way around about saying it. And so I'm really big, especially me, who I always have an issue committing to efforts that have a deadline, because I get pulled in so many directions. I never know how much time I'm going to have to code at any one particular moment. And to be able to, you know, give an AI agent some, prompts and say, hey, this is what I need out of this feature, and then go to a meeting, you know, work on something else, and then come back later and not have to figure out where I left off in my code base, what I was working on or anything, and just look at what the AI generated. I don't know, man. I'm really starting to embrace that. And it's getting to the point where I'm getting nervous. It's like, I don't want to not be a PHP developer, right? I don't want to not be a developer. And I keep telling myself, no, that's why we're so good at using this tool, is because we do understand. Like, I'll tell it, you know, love it or hate it, I love the repository pattern, right? And I'll tell the AI agent, you know, this is the feature I want. This is the pattern I want you to you know, implement with it. And, you know, this is what I want there. This is what I want here. And I need value objects here. And, you know, like I keep telling myself, or I keep trying to convince myself, that's why I'm still a PHP developer, because I do understand all these principles and patterns and things. So I could be lying to myself. I don't know.
No, I was doing it yesterday with our PHP tech site, because we realize it's not accessible and it's on our mind. It's just, we have a million other things we're working on. And unfortunately that gets pushed to the bottom of the list. Mm-hmm. So I found, I was like, I need to do something, because I know a lot of it is add the ARIA tags, make sure you right. have alternate text done, images and buttons. And
right.
So I was like, it's grunt work for the most mm-hmm. part. So I was like, I want you to follow the WCAG 2.0 specification and help me update the site. And whatever tool I was using for getting a metric, it went from, I don't know if it was percent. I know it went from 35 to 65 when it was done.
It was like a score of some sort.
Some score. And I was like, all right, I made progress. I'm happy with that for now. And then I'll come back to it later and try and do a little more. But it's like, let's just get something out. Let's make it make it better. I'm sick of hearing about it, because I'm not hearing a ton about it, but there's one or two people that have mentioned it. It's like, all right, let me work on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of AI, I mean, while we're on the topic, we have a new partner
at PHP Architect.
We're actually really excited about this one. Something we have experienced. With coderabbit.ai, which, if you're not aware, let me go ahead and share this with you guys.
Instead of going directly there, go to phpa.me/coderabbit.
There you go. phpa.me/coderabbit. So
that way they know we sent you.
This was one of those tools that I was so pleasantly surprised with. Like, AI is being introduced into everything, and like 90% of it is just crap, right? It's basically just the old bots with, you know, a fancier name. And so when they talked about this AI service, CodeRabbit, for code base pull requests, I'm like, well, initially pull requests, but I'll get into other things. When they talked about it, I'm like, okay, this is going to be another one of those bots where it's like, oh, this isn't, you know, like I thought maybe it was like going to be like a PHP stand thing where, oh, this is not PSR or whatever. Dude, this thing was smooth. Not only does it do a very comprehensive review of your code base, and, you know, like when you open a pull request, the thing that blew me away is one of our developers in the pull request in GitHub responded to CodeRabbit. It's like, oh, you know, I did this instead. And I'm like, Frank, what are you doing? It's like, you're responding to, like, it's a bot. It's not going to, and it responded back to Frank. And it's like, oh, you're absolutely right. I didn't see that. My apologies, but you still need to, address this here. And like, it allows our developers to engage with it and have like a back and forth, which is mind blowing. Mm-hmm. And it has a command line version, which I use. I actually use it in conjunction with Claude Code. So when I have Claude do something, right before I'm done, I will say, then initiate this code rabbit process, look at its feedback, and respond accordingly to its feedback. Like if it sees something broken or something doesn't look right and you agree with it, fix it. So that's something like you can actually use it without even doing the PR. You just use it on your local system. I don't know if there's anything, I don't know if there's like a GUI for a desktop, but it does have command line versions, I'm pretty sure, for all platforms. And it's just so, so, so slick. I wish, this is something I wish I had when we were like individual developers, or especially when we were really small, and we didn't have other people to do code reviews. This is fantastic. So yeah, check them out. CodeRabbit.ai, or like John said, go to phpa.me/CodeRabbit today. Nice. And sign up. You can try it for free. It says so right there.
Thank you, CodeRabbit, for partnering with us.
Yeah, thanks, CodeRabbit. All right. All right. Yeah, so that was pretty much it. We do have some fun things to talk about. Go ahead.
We do. In Discord, DuckNizzle earlier asked, do you guys host your apps in Docker containers or bare metal? And the truth is, it's a combination of both. Mm-hmm. Have some apps in Docker containers, some apps on bare metal. Most of our legacy stuff is bare metal, or because we use Forge on a lot of our smaller things, it's just a matter of throw it up there and it just throws it on the bare metal server versus throwing it in a Docker container. But for our client work, I know for our biggest client, we do a lot of Docker containers. And for the client code that I work on, the main application, the big one that's paid the bills for years, is still on EC2 instances. But all of the new stuff that is being written, all the microservices are all in Docker containers. The deployment process has been kind of standardized amongst all of these things so that we're all deploying our little microservices the same way. So starting to embrace that more and more.
Yeah. Yeah. Fun stuff. Did you take a card off of my thing?
Would I do that?
I feel like you would.
I did not take a card off of your thing.
Well, dang it. I need to find something since we're doing shout outs. Go ahead. Keep talking. I need to find something real fast.
All right. You do that. Speaking of AI, something came across Discord. I think it was Discord yesterday, day before, about Tailwind CSS. Did you see that? Oh, yeah. You do that one thing. You do have something on your board about that.
Yeah. Do I? What do I have?
The morning walk. I haven't listened to that yet. I want to.
It was hard to listen to, man. It was really hard to listen to. But yeah, let's touch on this, because I mean, this, I felt all his pain when he was talking about this. So
if you don't know, Tailwind CSS ended up letting go of 75% of their workforce. Granted, which, later I learned it was three people.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's still like, it's a big number. Like, our team is small. If we had to let go of 75%, that would suck.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd hate to see you go, John.
Yeah. Well, I thought I was close to going the other day. Anyway. But yeah, letting go of your workforce when it's not in your control sucks. Mm-hmm. For us, it's going to happen when our clients say we're moving on to somebody else. We don't, for whatever reason, at that point, unfortunately, that's when you start laying people off. But they had to do it because of AI, right? Was that the reason?
Not really the reason. So that was just kind of what sparked the frustration. So we're talking about Adam Wathen, who is the creator of Tailwind. And I felt it was like a weird thing to begin with, because it's a CSS library, right?
Right. It's like, who, the fact that you had employees was amazing.
Right. Like you're going to build a business off this. That's, and they, you know, to their credit, they did a great job. I mean, they had the Tailwind components library you could subscribe to, which again, we did, like we wanted to support Adam and we were using Tailwind and it was like, yeah, this will save us time, not have to come up with these components. They did create services around the project to get income, which is how open source is supposed to work. You either create services or you make money, you know, consulting,
doing support or something. Yeah.
So yeah, that's what they did. And I think it was just, that wasn't bringing in enough money, you know, and they were trying to think of ways to do that. And I think that a pull request or a conversation started up on a pull request or an issue or something about integrating AI stuff into it. Mm-hmm. And I think that Adam was just, you know, not in a good headspace at the time, got frustrated and say, listen, I'm trying to keep my company right now. I don't have time to focus on this stuff. We don't have time to focus on this stuff. And it's like, yeah, but it's an open source project. So like, maybe you should say, we're not going to do it, but you're welcome. We accept PRs, you know, like, you know, you don't discourage everybody from doing stuff, but,
Well, it was on a pull request. It wasn't even on an issue. It wasn't like somebody...
It was a pull request. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I think where was your card at? You had that card. Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
Right here. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think that was just like, again, just hit the wrong time. So here's what was shared. And I feel bad for this guy because, you know, he was trying to be helpful. He's probably a huge supporter of Tailwind. He's probably very excited to be using it. And, you know, he was just trying to be helpful, I'm sure. But if your goals are this is actually probably after all that.
Yeah, that was after. You want to go to the top?
Yeah, yeah. Is it all the way up top?
Yeah. I assume so.
Add LLMs.txt endpoints that serves as. Yeah. So this was just somebody submitting a pull request to do this sort of thing. And to add LLMs.txt endpoint for LLM optimization documentation. So it seems like the work was actually even done already. And right. Yeah. Yeah, I just think it was just bad timing. It's stressful. And I do think that's one of the things Adam touched on. So I there's two links here. The thing I shared earlier was Adam's podcast, where he's very open and honest and transparent about this conversation. And he even says, he's like, you know, I probably should have taken a moment before I replied, but yeah, he does talk a lot about, you know, it's a small business. He felt really bad. I mean, I think he is in the same position you and I are on, where it's like, if we lost the company and it was just you and I who lost our, you know, the way we make our living, whatever, you know, we'll reboot, we'll figure it out. I mean, I'm not saying whatever, I'm not saying like it's right. Easy for us to clean new work, but he carried the burden of the fact that people he liked very much, enjoyed working with, felt were extremely talented, that's why he hired them, are now looking for work. And, you know, he just felt like that's just a big impact. And like, being a small business owner, man, I appreciate it. It's just so stressful. It's such a stressful thing to have. I think that's kind of what keeps John and I pretty grounded, fortunately. But yeah, it was tough. And again, we're talking about three people, but like John said, 75% of your workforce is three people,
and the stress that comes along with that. Running a business is hard enough as it is, knowing that you are responsible for helping people put food on their table, and then when you can't, and you actually take it away from them and like, good luck, find something else. That's
right. And if you think about it, it's really more than three people, right? Because those three people are gone. Now, Adam, who had kind of stepped away from the hands-on development in code contribution part, now has to get back into that, meaning the higher management role of running the business, making sure projects are being managed correctly, setting priorities. That's now going to be more challenging for him to kind of do both. So yeah, it was three people, but in reality, it's probably more like four and a half people, you know?
I didn't read through the entire comments in there. Somebody else replied saying, as someone who's sponsored Tailwind CSS in the past, this is a disappointing response. Would you like to disclose the fact that sponsoring gives one access to an official collection of LLM rules? So there's already something there, but you have to basically be a sponsor of the the package to get access to it. So now there's speculation. Was it because of the business thing, or was it because you want to make money off of it? Which, if so, is fine. You're running a business, and if that's what you want to do, just disclose and say, hey, if you want this in the product, sponsor us, and you get access to it. Mm-hmm. We're not going to make it easy for you.
Yeah. And it's always this fine line that open source projects, especially modern open source projects, struggle with, because everybody wants to make a living. I mean, we kind of see it a little bit with internals. That's why the foundation was established, because there's a very clear need to have retention on these core developers of these projects. Yeah, it's great as open source. It's great anybody can contribute, but you need that steady, regular group of people who understand the history of it, the direction of it, the priorities of it. Yeah, it's tough, man. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I feel for the guy. I don't think he handled it exactly perfectly, but I'm sure he did a much better job than I would have.
Yeah, we've all done that. Like, a knee-jerk reaction, you get upset, you respond in the moment.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when it's online, it's there almost perpetually.
This is I struggle a little bit. So he's like, I'm going to lock this one. It's spiraling a bit. Appreciate the support from everyone. We're figuring it out. And then he closed the PR and merge. I'm like,
well, he did that originally, like way up. He closed it. And then there's a whole lot of conversation after, like, closing this is unacceptable, or it's against the spirit of OSS.
And which, I mean, it's a valid point.
So after so many comments of back and forth, that's why he locked. He's like, you know, it's out of control. We're not getting anywhere with it. What's done is done. Let's move on.
Mm.
He had to do it for his own sanity, right? Having people come at you like that for an open source project.
And let's be clear. I mean, it's easy to freak out about this sort of thing. Tailwind isn't going anywhere. I'm sure Adam's company isn't going anywhere. He's just, you know, readjusting, which is fine. I mean, as a matter of fact, I think I saw, where did I see it? Oh, I meant to bookmark that for the show. I think I saw somewhere. Oh, shout out to our Discord again, discord.phparch.com. So yeah, a lot of this conversation was in our Discord. And then somebody posted today that like Google or some group at Google is now a sponsor of Tailwind.
Oh, really?
I'm trying to scroll back really quick to see if I can find where that was. But yeah, I saw that. I was like, holy crap, really? Am I even in general? Come on, Discord. If you're still around, here it is. I got it right here. Boop. Let me share this with you guys. Open this up. So he goes, I'm happy to share that we, Google's AI Studio team, are now sponsor of the Tailwind CSS project. Honored to support and find ways to do more together to help the ecosystem of builders. So yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool, you know. And this has like always been the struggle with open source. It's like all these big companies depend on stuff, like depend on these projects to continue to work, but none of them want to contribute so much as a dime to any of them. I had one of the riskier arguments I think I've ever had as a young IT person working in the enterprise with one of our management team about why if we're not going to contribute to these open source, financially contribute to these open source projects, we shouldn't be using them. And, you know, go ahead and give, like, I just couldn't understand. I knew how much money we were giving to IBM for their WebSphere product. And it's just like, we're going to get, okay, so just keep doing that. Just keep tossing all this money over to these other companies. If you're not going to even give a fraction of that money to an open source project that you're using 10 times more, than you're using their product, you know? It's always been a point of just frustration for me. Great to see this.
The nice thing is nowadays there's many more ways to support open source, whether it's through GitHub sponsorship, what's the other one?
Patreon.
There's a few ways to support.
My hat tips to Google AI Studio. Good work, guys. Yeah, cool.
Not a sponsor.
No. But I wouldn't mind talking to you about it. We have, speaking of Discord, let me bring this up too, since I've already got my Twitter zoomed in. One of our Discord members and contributor to PHP Architect, Wendell, who just started a series on PHP Enterprise, which I was super excited to work with him and get that, is now working at Laravel. He is the senior software engineer at Laravel PHP open source team, which is just a crazy title to have. But he's, I don't know if he's in there right now, but he occasionally pops into our Discord. So if you know Wendell, give him a congrats.
Congrats, Wendell.
Really excited. Yeah, that's super, super cool.
Tell Taylor to send you to PHP Tech.
Yeah, right? Holy crap. I'm slipping, man. I think Wendell, if I'm not mistaken, I could be totally wrong about this, but I think Wendell was actually the first Patreon of the swag store out of the US. So he bought our first, if you're wondering what I'm talking about store.phparch.com, which is right there. I still haven't put anything else on since I created the beanie, but I haven't even ordered one yet. So I'm like, what is this? This is like way too big. I'm pretty sure Wendell was our first purchaser of a product outside the US, which was nice. Nice from a sense that it was nice we were able to send something outside the US without having to worry about all the VAT and shipping. And it was nice he was able to buy it and the service just got it to him.
You want to get mad at me?
Let's talk about getting mad at you.
You can get mad at me with the fact that turns out Fourth Wall has a referral program.
What?
That I didn't know about. And I got our local little league to set up a store and now they're making sales through it. And I'm like,
son of a bitch.
God. Oh, why did I do it?
I'm like, I don't know where you're going with this, but okay. Now I am mad.
Yeah.
It was so funny. We talked about earlier. I mean, I joked about the fact that I was going to see how long it took John to piss me off in 2026, and it took him a total of 48 hours.
Was it that long?
Yeah. Maybe not even 48 hours. Like, you did it twice. I forget what the second thing was, but yeah. It was, I'm joking. I mean, he just didn't read my message, but all right.
I did read it, and I still...
You still don't see how you're wrong. I understand.
You were wrong.
So I got two cards here. I'm going to kind of combine. They're not really related, but they're kind of connected, and I'll explain to you why here. So one thing I'm going to share, and again, this is not something that's published through us. We have no skin in this game, but the author, Pete, I'm going to brutalize your last name. Heslop, H-E-S-L-O-P, wrote a book called Laravel for the Rest of Us, and reached out to me a couple months back, said, hey, would you mind giving this a read and let me know your thoughts? And I'll be honest with you, it was like the end of the year, and I'm like, I have read so many Laravel How to Get Started books. I can't right now. I'll read this later, because Laravel is always changing and there's always like these new things, but I'm just like, I wasn't super interested in it. And so when we got to the tail end of our break, I realized I hadn't read it yet. So by this time, I think he sent me the message back in November. So now we're in January. And so I messaged him. I'm like, hey, I'm super sorry. I didn't mean to put this off. I will give this a read this week. And so I gave it a read. I'm actually pleasantly surprised. It's a very interesting approach to this. So he wrote a magazine. He wrote a book that is meant for people who are not developers to explain to them the benefits of PHP and more specifically Laravel, what Laravel brings to the table. So let's take it like you're in an enterprise and you're trying to convince your manager, your CTO, why you want to use the Laravel framework, but you only understand the Laravel jargon. And sometimes it's hard to take a step back to see what the simple understanding of the benefits are. That's where this book comes into play. Very interesting. I think it's a very niche, very small group of people who would be kind of interested in using this or getting this, but it's there. I mean, it is a resource there. It does a really good job. I basically listened to the whole thing. I even gave him some feedback on a few things. It is a long book. I mean, it's not short. I don't even remember how many pages it is. I know it's over 100 pages. It just talks about all the different aspects of Laravel and why they're significant without getting technical, without getting geeky developer. You have to understand why this is a big deal sort of thing. He really lays it out. So if you think that's something that you could leverage, or it's something that you think somebody else might need, the link will be in our show notes. Again, we get nothing out of this. I just, I know him. He reached out to me. I don't know him personally, but he had reached out to me, and I gave it a read, and yeah, I thought it was really good. So I will put this in the show notes for anybody who might need it. Now, kind of along that same lines, but different. You want to move that card over for me, John?
Sure.
Nuno did something I thought was very clever and started a site, Why PHP in 2026. Now, again, this is one of these goofy things, but like if you make money doing PHP, especially if you're not working for a single organization, you understand the trouble you can have trying to convince, especially why PHP is different than it used to be, more importantly, but like, why PHP is relevant, probably more relevant today than it's ever been. And Nuno, and this is an open source project. You can actually contribute to this if you want. But Nuno created this why PHP in 2026 does just a really, and this is not, Nuno works for Laravel. This is not Laravel specific. But of course, yeah. Laravel's highlighted, but yeah, he has Symfony down here, Composer, PHP Stand, Pest, PHP Unit, Pyke, and even Rector. Just a really good, very clean, very easy to read, easy to look at website. So again, if you're one of these people that likes to have the ammunition on, you know, what makes PHP so good and so worth having, this is one of those things. I am going to start including this little tag starting today. It's already actually in the show notes. I already created the blog post. This will always be in the bottom of our show notes moving forward because I think it's that important. So we've had Nuno on the show before. I've had so many conversations with the guy. He's really one of the smartest people in our community. I love talking to him. Not only is he smart, but he's excited. Like there are smart people who are great with PHP, and I like having conversations with them. And then there are people like Nuno that are smart, like having conversations with them, but they're also excited about it and they enjoy talking about it. They enjoy sharing. And it's just, he's just one of the just best people in our industry. So yeah, give it a look.
I like it. I'll add to my, not that it matters. It's easy to add to your GitHub readme.
Yeah. 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 I saw that. I hadn't done that yet.
So yeah, might as well.
Yeah. Why not?
Where are we at?
All right.
We're right here. We're right where we're supposed to be.
Hey, Sarah. Sarah is in Discord.
you say hi as she dogs on you.
It's Eric. Damn it. What did we say earlier? I'm the Rodney Dangerfield.
Yep. Rodney Dangerfield of PHP. We were on a client call yesterday on Tuesday, and as usual, just giving Eric a hard time. The client is, and of course I pile on as well. And Eric said that, and that stuck. Somebody else says something to him. I'm like, Eric, you really are the Rodney Dangerfield of PHP.
No respect. No respect. 100%. For anybody interested, so we're at 4 o'clock right now, which is about Pacific the time we typically wrap up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you run a little longer, like today. Obviously, we're going to run a little longer, not much longer. But because of that, Merge PHP has their meetups once a month, but it's always on Thursday, and it had been at 4 o'clock. And now they have pushed that to 5 o'clock, not because of us, because of other reasons. I'm sure we weren't even a consideration, mm-hmm. despite me being on the board. But, you know. That's why I never made the meet. I told him, like, I don't make the meetups because you guys do it right after our podcast and I'm doing, you know, show notes and stuff. Anyways, they have pushed it back an hour. So they have a meetup today at 5 o'clock. So if you want to hang out
Pacific
after the show,
an hour from now. Time,
yeah. Hang out in our Discord for a little while or whatever. You can get a double whammy of fantastic PHP knowledge. And, not only that, but next month, your very own John bailed on his talk. Is forcing one of the other PhD architect team members to take his place. Bastard.
Forcing.
Yeah.
And I'm making him get up at 1 a.m. his time to give the presentation.
He really is. It's Chris who's in London. And it's like 1 o'clock in the morning for him. Chris is like, yeah, no problem. I'll do that. That's next month. That's not today. That's next month's talk.
I was going to do it.
You were.
I bowl on Thursday night, so I was actually going to take my laptop with me and do the presentation remotely.
Now I want you to do it again. I want you. That would be awesome. You would be like the big
no.
of PHP. No, you have to.
No, I was going to do it in my car before going into the bowling alley. I was going
to. No, do it in the bowling alley.
I was going. Because it would have been like,
while you're bowling, you got to do it while you're bowling.
Oh, that'll be fun.
That would be awesome. I would watch that.
It'd be loud as hell. No. Nobody wants that. You wouldn't be able to hear me. It would not be fun. I was basically just do the presentation. Be like, sorry, I can't hang out. I got to go.
Talking about MCPs today. Development with MCPs. Yeah. Talking about AI.
Yeah. So thank you, Chris, for doing that. I will do a presentation later in the year, summertime, possibly when there's no bowling going on. Unless you want to do it on a non-Thursday.
Yeah, I know. We had to move our meetups because we typically would have our meetups on Thursday. How did we do that before? When we had the other podcast?
We didn't do it on Thursday night. It was usually like Tuesday night.
Was it Tuesday?
Oh, I think so.
I thought it was Thursday. Although I think when we did Ugly, like we didn't have a regular schedule initially. So,
and then we did 9 p.m. for a long time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Many years it was late.
Yeah.
But it still wasn't on meetup nights.
Yeah.
Speaking of, our meetup is we're trying to get it scheduled. It's going to be January 28th. We are looking at a new host. Did you see I emailed them, by the way?
No, I didn't actually. Yeah, I
may not have CC'd you.
Of course you didn't, because I get no respect. That's why.
No respect.
yeah. If you're in the San Diego area and you're looking for,
I did CC you. I am.
Check it out. Yeah. Good. We're actually looking for a presenter. If you want to, if you're in San Diego area and you want to present, we're looking for a presenter. But
and we're looking
come join us.
Looking at hosting at a brewery this month.
Yeah.
And I have ideas. We need to talk after this.
Shots? Do a drinking game? Well, if you don't volunteer.
Brewery, they have it's beer, not a full bar.
I want to talk about one last thing because I just want to get this off.
I read that just before the show and it's
how
shocking.
Awesome is that? Oh, shocking good or shocking bad?
Shocking, like not good or bad. Interesting.
So I hate without supporting. God damn it.
I wish NS Bucky. It's not going to be Stone.
No, NS Bucky. It's not going to be Stone. But they will have beer and it will be in San Diego. So you should be able to make it. It's not that bad. One of my things I hate the most as an American is mail. Because nobody sends mail anymore. All you get is junk.
Junk bills.
Yeah, junk bills. And most bills are on, like, I don't know what companies you deal with, but like I deal with companies now where they're like, oh, if you want us to keep mailing you a bill, we'll have to charge you extra. It's like, then don't charge me extra. Just don't send me the bill.
I get stupid stuff like from the Maine Department of Revenue and.
And our mailman hates us. So this is the first house I've ever lived in. Does your house have the mailbox on your house?
No, it's down at the street.
Okay. So this is the first time I've ever lived in a house where you had to go to like a communal mailbox to get your mail, which I frustrates me because I pay taxes for the postal service. You keep raising the price of stamps. And yet you're doing less work. I don't get it. It pisses me off. And then the work you're doing is for junk mail. I can't stand it. I hate the mail. So anyways, Danish Postal Service has officially stopped delivering letters after 400 years. And I should share this. And yeah, after 400 years. So I'm moving to Dane.
Denmark. I'm moving to Dane.
I try to keep a straight face. Yeah, Denmark. So in Denmark, the postal service is not going to be a thing anymore. So
they are described as one of the most digitalized countries in the world.
Yeah, I've heard that in this article.
Yep.
I wish it was at least an option where you could say, you know what, I'm opting out of all mail. Like, if I'll take responsibility, I don't need a mailbox anymore. I'll continue to pay my taxes. Huh?
You can, just don't check your mail. Just don't go with it.
That's what I say. Oh, I didn't even finish my story. Jesus Christ, Sarah. So this is the first time I've ever lived in a house where it was a communal mailbox, right? And so Beck and I are horrible about checking our mail because we know there's nothing in there. And of course, you know, what we do get is the magazine, which I guess I shouldn't knock it too much. I don't know how, I guess that just gets transferred to some other service. But we've gotten letters from our mailman on our front door that says, please empty your mailbox.
I can't put any more in there.
I feel like responding, please stop putting mail in there. Oh, man. It was so funny. It's happened twice now. where it's like, because days go into weeks, and next thing you know, you haven't checked your mail in like 3 weeks, and the mailman is just like begging you to go empty your mailbox.
Please bring my mail to me. Put a mailbox on your door. Say, put it in here.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah. I think that's it for me. You got anything else you want to talk about?
No. We've gotten rid of the penny, so it's not long before we get rid of mail.
Yeah. That hasn't officially started yet, though, has it? Or has it?
I think so. Pretty sure.
I think it started this year, right? They stopped minting pennies. If I'm in some weird situation where I have change, my brain starts to break down. Like, I don't know what to do with change anymore.
Yeah, they stopped minting late 2025.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
each penny costed more than 3 cents to make.
And again, our taxes, we won't see any savings, but yeah.
No, because now you're seeing in different businesses, like, there's no penny, so we're rounding up to 5 cents.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen business where it's like, no cash.
Yeah.
They have no way of taking cash, which is weird. But yeah.
I don't know if that's legal, is it? I think because
I see them all the time.
I know. I have too, but I think.
I mean, it's legal
tender. If you wanted to fight it, I think you could.
Yeah. I feel like you should be able to. It's like, yeah. Yeah. Anyways, like I said, I don't even carry my wallet anymore. I just carry my phone and do tap to pay. So I don't even have my plastics with me anymore. I like it because with the tap to pay, it's not the same credit card number. It's not like, it's harder to steal your identity when you do that. So that's why I do it. And then we finally here in California, we've gotten the digital license, which is funny because like nobody recognizes it. Although I just see TSA. The last time we traveled, where did we go? It must have been Denver.
No, it was Texas, wasn't it?
Oh, was it Texas? Yeah. Wherever it was. Yeah. It was like, if you have a digital license, TSA, use it.
What annoys me is I had that on my phone, but it seems like every time I go to open it, it's you need to refresh it.
Yeah.
And the one time I needed to, it was like I had no internet connection. Like there was no way to refresh it. I'm like, luckily, I have my wallet with me. This is stupid.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. All right. Cool.
It's not like just a picture of it on your phone.
Well, that's the weird thing about it. It's like even to get to your picture, it's a couple taps. It's not like you just pull up a picture version of your license. It's like, there's this barcode that they can scan. And then if they really need to check your ID, you have to click another thing to actually pull up your face. And it's so weird.
Mm.
That's like, did you hear? One more thing before we go, because you live here in California with me. California did this big push for real IDs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you see that Homeland Security is saying now that the real ID is not sufficient enough evidence that you're a citizen?
What?
Or that the ID is real? I'm like, what the hell? Why do we have these things then? Like, what's the point of them?
It was a huge push.
It was massive. Matter of fact, now... if you try to fly and you don't have a real ID, they're going to charge you an extra like $45 or $50 to process you. There are other forms of ID in place of real ID. You can have your passport. I forget what else. Passport's one that always comes to mind for me because the kids have those. But yeah, it's nuts, man. And the frustrating thing about, do you have a real ID?
I do. Yeah. I mean, it's easy enough to do. Just a driver's license.
I was gonna say the first frustrating thing about it is here in California, I think it's pretty much everywhere in the U.S. now, to renew your license, it's just like you just mail in a check, say, hey, I need to renew my license, and they send you a new license, right? But to get your real ID, you actually have to go back to the DMV and get your picture taken again and everything. And like the DMV here in the U.S. is like horrible. It's such a horrible experience.
Well, every so often you have to go in anyway, and I think it was my time to actually go in to renew it. Like,
you're fortunate, yeah. The funny thing about mine, and I don't even have my license. Like, my wallet isn't even at my desk anymore; it's in my dresser. the funny thing about mine is I had been growing my hair out for PHP Tech. And so, like, I got this big bear beard and all this long hair, which I never have. And, like, that's on my license now for, like, the next 20 years.
Real quick, Duck Nizzle asks, are you guys embracing passkeys yet? I was hesitant, love but them. Chrome and Safari syncing to multiple devices now seems like it's time to accept them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I use them a lot, but I don't do it in Chrome. I do it in 1Password.
Yeah. And they're definitely easy. Arguments about doing that and why it's a bad idea, but yeah, I'm with John. It's like there's a line of convenience and security, and you need to figure out, you know, where you want to stand. You can have a lot of security with some convenience, or, you know, a lot of convenience with little security, and we try to do a balance. But yeah, I love the passkeys. Yeah,
when it's an option, I've been opting for my YubiKey, which I still have, like,
right here. I still have mine right here. Still plugged in, yeah.
I have to have mine to log into my Mac.
See, I was going to set mine up. I couldn't figure out how to set it up.
It's a process, because you have to set up a PIN and something else through the YubiKey manager.
Oh, but interesting.
I'd forgotten about, like, I knew about it, because my password is now a PIN, but for the first time in a long time, I took my laptop out and worked in the kitchen yesterday, and I go to log in and ask for my PIN. I just put it in. It's like, nope. I'm like, oh yeah, I did type that in wrong. Let me try again. Typed it in. Like, oh, I'm pretty sure that's it. But I'm so used to doing it on my keypad and on the actual Mac keyboard. I had to do it across the numbers at the top. So I'm like, let me go really slow. It's do 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 do. Nope, that's wrong. And I'm like, oh, I bet I have to have it plugged in. So I came in and grabbed my key and like, yep, that was it.
So the reason, and you might ask yourself why you would do that, because your MacBook has a fingerprint reader. The reason I was going to do it is because for a long time I had my clam shut. Mm-hmm. And I honestly would like that way, so that I could I keep it stored on the side of my computer with it closed.
And that's what
I was wondering if when you do that, every time when the macOS would ask you to scan your fingerprint,
mm-hmm.
if the YubiKey becomes a substitute for that, a dozen, huh?
No.
So it just logs you into the actual Mac and that's it.
Right. Yeah, I don't have the fingerprint nicety, but I do use my watch for that. So when it works, it's great, but it doesn't always work. But for...
Yeah, like, you're right. You do have the watch for that. Yeah.
When I go to access 1Password, I can just double tap on my watch and it lets me in. Jeffrey, yes, I do have the fingerprint sensor, but like Eric said, my laptop is against the wall back there. My YubiKey's under my desk right here next to me. Nice and easy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know they make the Magic Keyboard with them built in. I never understood why they didn't just make the device like that you could plug in and have somewhere. But
oh, you can buy an external keyboard with the fingerprint.
One of the Apple Magic Keyboards have it has to be Apple, you know. I don't know if anybody else has one, but yeah. Which, speaking of which, my keyboard is killing me, man. So you know, I do that home row thing, right? Where mm-hmm. you know, the things up here. My L key will either double tap or not tap, or sometimes tap correctly, which when I'm typing is frustrating, right? Because like I go to type one L and it does two L's or whatever, but it's also my shift key. So if I press and hold it, it's my shift key. Now, if it's misbehaving, I shift to hold it and I'm trying to type another letter and I just get this line of L's. I'm like, wait, I'm holding you down. Stop. And it's breaking me, man. I've gotten so addicted to that, and I need to figure out what's going on with this L key.
Time to pull the cap, clean it out, see what's going on.
I actually did that over the break. I pulled all the caps and cleaned the whole keyboard. That's probably what busted it. Probably shouldn't use so much pledge.
All righty. Okay,
that's it. We're going to be done.
Yes. Thanks again. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks again to Code Rabbit for partnering with us and being a new partner of the show.
look forward to a long and happy relationship.
Definitely.
Okay, everybody. I hope you all had a good holiday, and I hope you're ready for 2026 because it is shaping up to be a banger.
Bye.
This has been Bye. PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.